the What's the Crack podcast with Anthony Martin.
Listen in live weekly on Brighton's Radio Reverb.
See whatsthecrack.co.uk and radioreverb.com for showtimes.
Now, we're only a few weeks away from the annual Rose of Tralee International Festival, which takes place in County Kerry from the 17th to the 23rd of August this year. The highlight of the festival, of course, is the Rose of Tralee competition, or pageant, which takes place on the 22nd and the 23rd. That's beamed around the world to millions of viewers. Now, the nearest contestant to Brighton at this year's Rose of Tralee Festival is the London Rose, 24-year-old Emma Murphy O'Connor, and she joins me on the phone right now. Hello, Emma.
Hi, Anthony. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Very well. Very busy, very excited. I've finally got myself over here to Ireland and meeting some of the girls, and so it's all building up now for starting next Friday on the 12th of August.
So starting to feel a bit more real now, I bet.
Oh, it does, absolutely. And it was funny, actually. There's 65 of us this year, which is new. I think they did that a couple of years ago for the 50-year anniversary, and now they've kind of changed things up a little bit this year. So there's a big group of us. So I've met about 25 of the girls now. So I've met all the British girls, and I've met a good group of the Irish girls now too. But it's funny. So we have this big WhatsApp group, and it never stops. And we kind of all feel like we're friends already. You kind of hop out of the car, and suddenly you're best friends in about 5 minutes.
Do you know, I was gonna say that. I bet there is a WhatsApp group or a Viber group with the roses.
Oh, honestly, it's so funny. So when we wake up in the morning, we have hundreds and hundreds of messages from all the American girls, Canadian girls, Aussie girls. And then when they go to bed, ours is going mad. I get along really well with one of the girls, the Ottawa Rose. And
okay.
It's funny because we haven't actually met before, and she's coming over next week. And the two of us are going to travel around a bit.
Cool.
And the other day she rang me, it must have been about 12 in Canada, and it was 5 a.m. over here. But I just couldn't help myself. I had to answer the phone. We were on the phone for about half an hour at 5 in the morning.
So you've been doing this for a few weeks now, the WhatsApp group. Is there any gossip? Can you let us in on any gossip from the Roses?
Oh, I mean, it's the usual kind of girly thing. So we're all having a little bit of a chat about who's wearing what and how's everything going. But also there's a new escort up on the page.
Yes, I was going to ask about that as well. Actually, what we'll do is we'll start off, because a few of the listeners probably won't have even heard of the Rose of Tralee Festival. How would you explain the competition?
Well, it is basically a celebration of, I'd say, strong, kind of smart and kind Irish girls around the world. It's a celebration of Irish heritage, really, is what it is. And it's very much not a beauty pageant or anything of the sort. So we're told we're not allowed to be involved in any fashion shows or things like that, because it's all about the kind of person you are. And I think that's really important to the festival.
Yeah, so it is kind of, I suppose, it celebrates kind of Irishness around the world, really. Because, again, you're representing London in this competition. And
I am.
Yeah, you're from London yourself. And you're studying law at the moment. Is that right?
I am, actually. So I was born in West London in Ealing. And my mum and dad met over here. So my dad used to play rugby for London Irish. And mum came over from Galway for a year and met dad almost a year to the day. And then stayed over, 35 years later. So we're based out in Ealing. And I did a geography undergraduate degree and then did a law conversion. And I actually flew over, having missed my flight on Tuesday because I'm just a big idiot. And then on Wednesday, I got my exam results and then celebrated on Thursday at the Galway races.
Oh, congratulations. You did pretty well then, I take it, from that.
I am so relieved. They were really, really hard exams. I mean, the conversion year was really hard. And then I did the legal practice course this year and then all done now. So it's just a massive relief. It kind of means this summer will be even more fun.
So what's your plan then in regards to law? Are you looking to specialise in certain areas or what's the plan?
Yeah, for the last year, I've worked one day a week with a lovely firm up in Bank. And they are a shipping and insurance kind of specialist. So there's about 30 people in the entire firm. But they're brilliant, actually. And I've done some work on some exciting things like the Hatton Garden heist case.
All right.
Which was quite interesting. Yeah, that was good. And then most of the rest of the time I'm working on kind of consignments of cargo on ships and things like that. So, it's, yeah, I really enjoy it. Yeah, and I actually met them. So I had spent like a very, very long time applying to all these different firms. And I was working a slightly different job one day, kind of. It was for a silent auction company and I was selling raffle tickets. And I got talking to a table of clients that were at the lunch and I ended up getting my boss's business card and getting the job that way. So it kind of all just kind of fell into place. It was just one of those funny things.
It's good when that happens, isn't it? It's good. It's like fate.
I know.
So
it was amazing. And this year was almost a year to the day. So my boss invited me back to the same lunch I was working at last year.
Oh,
which was quite nice.
It's quite good serendipity there, I guess.
Yeah.
Now, what's it like growing up in London with like such a strong Irish background? Because you said you've got Irish kind of roots in both sides of your family, don't you?
I do. So, Mum is from Ardrahan in Galway, and Dad is from Cork, so Cloyne in Cork. And, Dad, like I said, Dad plays London Irish, and my granddad played rugby for Ireland, and lots of my like great uncles played like Munster and Leinster, and there's a really strong Irish rugby background. So mostly our upbringing was kind of on the side of a rugby pitch and celebrating the Irish stuff. And God forbid we were there in like supporting any other team anyway. So it was really good fun. And that was kind of our Irish side. And we used to come out here for, out to Ireland, to Connemara for about 8 weeks every summer. But actually since winning this road stuff, I've been invited to all sorts of different events, and there's been like Kerry Man Golf Association Day, and there's been big music celebrations, 1916 celebrations down in the South Bank Centre, and just all sorts of things I actually had no idea about before. And the Irish community in London is just amazing, and it's just been so fun for that. You're kind of instantly accepted. It's amazing.
Yeah, there's a lot going on in London, actually. The London Irish Centre are very, very good at organising events and cultural exhibitions and stuff, aren't they?
Oh, they are. Ian McClintock is the director there, and he's amazing. And he always has me up there. And I've kind of visited some of the, they have these Irish elders lunches. And you can go in, and I think it's a fiver for a really nice lunch. And the people there are just lovely. And there was a lady there, she's Mary and she's 90, and she goes to a different one of these lunches every day in all the Irish centres. And she has a better social life than I do. She was amazing. And then I've been down to the Irish Cultural Centre a good few times as well. And they do all these lovely talks. They've done like kind of a series of 1916 commemorative talks this year. So they've been really interesting too. And they did a play the other day at the Tabard Theatre called Hannah Sheehy's Skeffington. So it was about Irish suffragettes, and that was just brilliant.
Wow.
And it turned out it was a one-woman show, and the girl who played the main role, who played Hannah Sheehy's Skeffington, was actually a girl who was the year above me at school. So it's just a small world.
It is. And you see, you're being really, really immersed in the Irish scene at the moment. And it sounds like, going back to kind of, you said Connemara holidays as a kid, did you kind of pick up any Irish at that stage? Were you encouraged to learn Irish, or was that not on the radar?
Actually, no, I know very little, but I know all about the Gooners now. And I know I've been learning a bit of the national anthem and things like that. So I'm kind of getting a little bit.
Yeah, you'll probably hear all the Colleen Das and all that kind of stuff now the next few weeks.
Exactly. But I'm right in the middle of the Gaeltacht and stuff, so I should really know a little bit more.
just one or two lines. You can impress Dahi on the night with a line or two, I guess.
Yes, yeah. I'll have to get a stock line in.
Now, what's your first memory of the Rose of Tralee Festival growing up? Because, again, being from an Irish family, living abroad, it must have been something that your parents spoke about or even watched.
Yeah, well, actually, it always kind of marked the end of our summer holidays. So it would always be kind of that last weekend before we'd go back to school. So but it was a nice way to end, like, mark something that was kind of a sad thing for us. So often we'd get one day of it, And so what would happen is I got the first day, my auntie would then videotape it and send me over the videotape to London so I could watch the second day. Oh. But when I won the London Centre, my cousin said to me, she was like, I always knew you were going to do it from when I saw you standing up after watching the Rose of Tralee and singing Baby Spice into like a hairbrush microphone. So I guess it's not my memory, it's my cousin's, but I must have thought I was a rose from early on.
So you must have always been an ambition of yours then, even subconsciously, I guess.
Oh, always. Auntie, I always wanted to do it. So I was about 15 when I emailed first saying, please, can I enter? And they said, oh, I'm really sorry, you're too young. Apply again when you're 18. When I was 18, I ended up having a gap year from school. I ended up then going off to university for 3 years, doing my conversion. And now this is the last year of my study. So actually it kind of worked out as a good time. But also I ran into some of the roses last summer at the Galway races.
Hmm.
And it was just kind of that thing I thought, right, this is the time to do it.
Just do it, yeah.
And it all just worked out. So I'm so surprised.
So it's been 9 years in the work then.
Oh, it has. And my cousin and my sister were like, if you don't apply for it, we're going to write the application for you.
So talk me through the selection process itself then, because that happened in London, didn't it?
It did. It happened in the Crown and Cricklewood, so the county of Cricklewood. And it was, we basically, usually the London centres don't have a little tour like some of the Irish centres do beforehand.
Hmm.
But Aisling Hillary, who was the Rose last year, and she is just, she's amazing. She's just such a lovely girl. And she organised a little tour for us. So we went to all sorts of different things and had like nights in Irish pubs together as well. And we all got to know each other really well.
Wow.
So we had that running up to it. And then on the final, on the Saturday, we had the Peterhouse walk at 4 a.m. Then we came back to the hotel later in the day and we had individual interviews, group interviews. And then we had kind of a little mini Rose of Tralee stage interview. It was great fun. And I think the nicest bit is we have actually, I know it sounds cliched, but we have actually all really become good friends. All of us girls went for the London Centre too. And there's a good group of them coming down to Kerry now as well, which just shows kind of what the whole festival is about.
Now, you mentioned a bit earlier about the escorts, the Rose escort. It's a big part of the Rose of Tralee. You get gentlemen who kind of keep you company, I believe, for the week and bring you around.
Yeah, I think the idea is they kind of look after you and make sure you're happy and in the right place at the right time and things like that. But we actually ran into a few of them at the races the other day and they seem like great fun. Within about 5 minutes, they were like, ah, Murph, like, what are you doing? Like, come on, let's put some bets on and things. They seem like great guys. And I know they had like they had a boot camp themselves, which sounded like good fun. And they were climbing mountains and cooking on campfires and learning how to sew and learning fire safety and all sorts of things.
So when do you get...
So I'm sure we'll be in good hands.
Yeah, so when do you get assigned an escort then?
So I think we find out who our escort is on Friday the 12th. So that's when the tour starts in Dublin, in the Maldron Hotel.
Okay.
Actually, this year, I think we get two escorts over the whole time, so it swaps kind of halfway through.
Okay.
And I think that's so that we get a better idea of what they're like, and we can give a bit more feedback for the escort of the year thing, because they have a little competition of their own, too.
Mm.
And I think that's quite nice, I think.
So you mentioned that you've had a look at some of the escorts. Anyone particularly standing out that you'd like to have assigned to you?
They're all equally important, Anthony.
putting you on the spot there.
Yeah.
Although I am...
I'm keeping stim here.
Yeah, I am looking at some of them, and some of them do look like characters, I'll be honest. Quite a few.
We have enjoyed some of the bios.
Yeah. Oh, right, there is bios as well. Yes, there is, yes. And they're from all sorts of different industries as well. There's people there from... there's accountants, there's... healthcare people, pharmacist. Yeah, it's good selection.
Yeah, it is. And that's like the girls too. Everyone seems to be doing something equally as amazing, and I don't know, they just all seem like such amazing girls. There's a few nurses, a few doctors, a few teachers, psychologists, lawyers, everything.
Mm.
Yeah, so it should be good fun anyway.
Now, that was the big thing on the night itself is the party trick section of the interview. Have you sorted yours out yet?
Well, I was there practicing yesterday, and I don't know whether I should give the game away.
Okay.
But basically, in my little interview for the London final, I ended up singing in the interview and coming out thinking, why did I do that? I ended up singing a football chant. So I don't know if you remember the Put 'Em Under Pressure Euros song.
Yes, I do.
So I ended up singing that because that's something I remember from driving over the 10-hour journey it used to be when we were younger. And we'd have it on cassette and we'd all be singing along. So I ended up singing this song. And a few weeks later, it ended up being re-released for the Euros this year. So that was quite, I thought that was quite funny. But then a few days later, I saw a guy from Armagh called Niall Murphy had done a fiddle rendition of it. So I sent him an email or a message on Facebook and I said, hi, like, and I explained what was going on. I said, would you mind if I used it as my party piece down in Kerry? And he said, I can't believe you've messaged me. It just so happens my twin sister is called Emma Murphy and she was the Armagh Rose last year.
Wow.
And you absolutely have to use it and things like that. Isn't that a funny coincidence?
It is too weird. That is too weird.
Yes. And he's like the something amazing, like the fiddle, all Ireland fiddle champion. And yeah, he's brilliant. So yesterday I was practicing. There's a little bit that's so fast, I just can't figure out how to play it.
Yeah.
So I sent him a message and he was like, Emma, I'm at a Cambridge Folk Festival, but I'll get back to you tomorrow. So he's great.
So a fiddle might be on the cards then for yourself, for your party piece.
That is exactly what's on the cards.
Nice, very nice. So who's going over with you then? What do your friends back in London make of this whole competition?
Well, a lot of them have heard of it before and I've had some very sweet things. Like one of my friends, Amelia, said to me, oh, Emma, can you give me the name of this properly so that I can have a look and a research so I can support you better? And I just thought that was really sweet.
Yeah.
But and some of the boys have been like, so are you on a hen do? I think the sash is confusing them.
Yes. So have you had any requests for like saying hello to people or, you know, shout outs from the dome?
Well, I think the only one I've definitely got to do is from my sister Neve. I'm a massive Taylor Swift fan. And the two of us go to all these Taylor Swift concerts together. And Taylor Swift's fans make these incredible posters and they're fluffy and glittery and light up and they're amazing. So for the London final, my sister made me a big E and it had green fluff, it had fairy lights and light up and everything all over it. So she came to the final and she just happened, what the Kildare Rose from last year was there and it just so happened they went to NUIG in Galway together and they rode together. So they Ailish, who was last year's rose, she said to Neve, she was like, you know, if Emma wins, you're going to have to make the rest of the letters. So my sister has been sat on the floor of our living room. She's personally keeping Hobbycraft afloat. And she's been going down every day and making these amazing. Now, you'll have to get an eye out for them.
Yes.
They are just amazing. They're all Celtic kind of, they're painted with like Celtic kind of designs. They're glittery, light up, fluffy, amazing.
so
she'll definitely be getting a shout out.
Very good. I'm looking forward to seeing that. And I was toying with the idea of giving you perhaps a little bit of a challenge on the night, kind of give you like a word to slip into your conversation. Would you be up for that?
I would, depending on what the word is. I'll give it a go.
Well, okay, let's keep on brand. How about the word reverb? Just get that in somewhere in the conversation. You probably is.
Reverb.
That, yeah, I think that might be doable.
Okay. I'll see. I'll have a think about it and I will do my best to get it in there.
Right. Well, we'll keep a listen out. We'll keep a listen out and hopefully you manage to get
it. Yeah. I'm going to write that down.
Yeah, you know, it could be interesting. What we'll do is, if you manage to do it, we'll record it and we'll put it into a jingle and stuff and we'll send it back to you.
Amazing.
No pressure. Perfect. Emma, listen, the best of luck with everything over the next few weeks. I'm sure it's going to be absolutely crazy and it'll be a few weeks that you'll never, ever forget.
Yeah. And thank you very much for having me on your show, Anthony.
You're welcome. Take care.
Take care, bye-bye.
From the heart of Brighton, a taste of home.
The other sort of people I pass and I tuss and I shake my head.
Yeah, probably.
I'm kitted out in all the proper gear.
Brighton's weekly Irish radio show. What's the Crack? With Anthony Martin on Radio Reverb, 97.2 FM. See whatsthecrack.co.uk and radioreverb.com for showtimes.